Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Heritage Foods Q2 and H1 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hiral Keniya from Dickenson World. Thank you, and over to you, Hiral.
Thank you, Asad. Good evening, everyone. I welcome you all to the earnings con call of Heritage Foods for Q2 and H1 FY22. Today, we have with us the management of Heritage Foods, represented by Mrs. N. Ramani, Executive Director, Dr. M. Sambhajiraju Rao, President, Mr. A. Prabhakar Naidu, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. M. Paswal, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. J. Sambhamurthy, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Vinay Vattal, CEO, Heritage Nutrivet, Mr. Umakant Barik, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, Heritage Foods. Before we get started, I would like to remind you that the remarks today might include forward-looking statements, and actual results may differ materially from those contemplated by forward-looking statements. Any statement we make on this call today is based on our assumptions as on date, and we have no obligation to update this statement as a result of new information or future events. I would now invite Dr. M. Sambhajiraju Rao from Heritage Foods to make his opening remarks. Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Hiral. Good evening to everyone joining us today on this call. We are pleased to welcome you all to this earnings call of Heritage Foods to discuss the financial and operating performance of quarter two and H1 of current financial year. The presentation with results has only been uploaded on the exchanges, and I am sure every one of you must have got a chance to look at it. However, I'll give you an overview of the financial and operational highlights for the quarter two and H1. Consolidated revenue for quarter two grew by 10% year-on-year at 6,703 million, despite severe rains and a couple of cyclones in our important markets. EBITDA during quarter two stood at 637 million as compared to 873 million during the previous year same quarter. The margin stood at 9.5% as against 14.3% during the quarter two last year, mainly on account of higher raw material costs during this year. During the current quarter, PAT stood at 328 million. The board of directors has proposed an interim dividend of 2.50 rupees per equity share. That is 50% of the face value of 5 rupees per equity share for FY22. Now I take you through first half year. Consolidated revenue grew by 5.6% year-on-year at 13,184 million on account of higher sales of milk and value-added products. EBITDA during the H1 stood at 1,158 million as compared to 1,432 million during the first half of last year. EBITDA margin stood at 8.8% during the H1. PAT during H1 stood at 631 million. Heritage Nutrivet, our wholly owned subsidiary sales stood at 233.7 million in quarter two as against 306 million during the same quarter last year. EBITDA stood at 8.4 million in current quarter two as against 35.2 million during the last year. PBT stood at 0.3 million vis-à-vis 25.3 million last year. On the balance sheet front, gross long-term debt stood at $327 million, and net long-term debt stood at $300 million as on September 30, 2021. Company has a strong balance sheet with a debt-to-equity ratio at 0.04:1, and the cash and bank balance of $731 million as on September 30, 2021. Now moving on to the volume performance. The average milk procurement during quarter two was 1.3 million liters per day, as compared to 1.2 million liters during the quarter two of last year. Average sales, milk sales during quarter two is 1.04 million liters per day, compared to 0.96 million liters per day in the quarter two of last year. Sale of curd during quarter two, FY 2022, was at 280 tons per day, compared to 215 tons per day during the last year's same quarter, registering a growth of 30% year-on-year. During the quarter, value-added product revenue surged by 31% year-on-year to 1,696 million rupees. During quarter two, value-added products contribution of overall revenue increased to 25.7% vis-à-vis 21.7% in the quarter two of last year. I'm happy to share a few developments in the company during the quarter two. Mr. Sridhar joined as Chief Executive Officer during the middle of the quarter and now taking greater responsibilities from quarter three. In the recent meeting of our board of directors, to strengthen the team of our board, Mr. M.P. Vijayakumar was appointed as Non-Executive Independent Director. He is a fellow member of ICAI, ICMIMA, ICSI. These are three prominent institutions, Chartered Accountants of India, Cost and Management Accounts of India, Company Secretaries of India. He has over 30 years of experience. He is currently serving as CFO of SiFi Technologies, a Nasdaq-listed company. Heritage Foods looks forward to gain from his rich knowledge and experience in accomplishing the company's long-term goals and vision. Despite the challenging business environment, Heritage continues to grow, expand its value-added product portfolio, and strengthen its balance sheet. The company launched a few products during this quarter, that's Kesar Shrikhand, Amrakhand in Hyderabad and Mumbai markets. The company also launched Malai Paneer Fresh in Mumbai. Heritage aims to grow its value-added product share in the coming years by consistently launching new healthy value-added products. Heritage Foods is making swift progress towards achieving debt-free status sooner. In the last one year, the company has repaid debt worth 1,685 million rupees. Now it's open for the question and answer session. If any of you have any queries or feedback post this call, you may connect to Dickenson World, our investor relations agency.
Thank you very much.
Open now for all the members.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. First question is for Mr. Sridhar. Just wanted to hear from you, sir, how do you view the growth strategy of the company now, you coming from an FMCG background. So what is the current priority in terms of growth? Do we look at a bigger product basket in our core markets, or we expand procurement to newer geographies, which was our earlier strategy of growth, a mix of both? Just wanted to hear from you and a little on an elaborated way, sir, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Samir, for that question. Thanks everyone for listening in. I don't think that our growth strategy has changed in the recent past. We have had a very consistent growth strategy for some time now, and which is the reason why, despite adversities of the second wave of COVID and many other adverse situations, we have been able to deliver consistent results. Like some of the aspects that you really mentioned, those remain at the core of our strategy. The first and foremost is our expansion of contribution from the value-added products. That remains at the heart of our strategy. The second one is expanding the regional footprint across the country into newer markets. All investors are very well aware of the investments we have made in geographies such as Maharashtra and in the north of India in Haryana and Delhi NCR region. And the third, of course, continues to be expanding both our procurement network and the sales network in an even fashion, so that we are able to leverage the advantage of the full value system, which has always been the strength of Heritage. In the first one, as far as the value-added products is concerned, we have been focusing on three areas. One is focused approach on products that give us products that give us an advantage as far as the market is concerned, where we have inherent strengths and where we see significant headrooms for growth. The second one is being consumer-centric in our innovations and in our marketing and communications. We have created, as the president made his opening statement, we have been consistently launching innovative products in the market which have helped us grow the value-added products. The third is an omni-channel strategy in making our products available and accessible to all our consumers. We have significantly grown our contribution from newer channels such as e-commerce, as well as expanding in traditional channels and new geographies. So all combination of all of this is what is driving the consistent growth and delivery of our results. So the strategy continues to be the same, and we are very confident that we will continue to see such strong performances in the quarters to come. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Just a follow-up on that. So what would be our e-commerce contribution now?
It's close to 5%, including the MRF.
Cool, sir. The second question, sir, would be that last quarter you had stated that in a more normal circumstances and state, our EBITDA margin would be close to 7-8%, which is typical of any other dairy company. But this quarter we have done 9.7%, 9.5% if you include based on your calculation. So just a question that are these still exceptional circumstances in terms of COVID, post-COVID and competition, or now with whatever has happened in the past year, there has been a permanent reset to around 9% margins for you?
Yeah, your observation is perfect. Change is not complete. We are still transitioning from COVID-affected economy to normal economy. We are still having some advantages now. We are continuing to have advantage for this quarter too, as flush season has begun and milk availability is high. Milk prices are stable. This may continue for a while and see how it changes into next financial year. It's a bit early to predict the next year's scenario.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That's very helpful, sir. Just a last bookkeeping question. You normally give milk procurement prices and liquid milk selling prices along with the volume numbers. I think you missed those numbers in your press release or presentation this time. So just if you could help me with those numbers.
Yes, sure. So we thought they're all not so relevant as the outcomes are more visible. So you want the input data also, we can share. We will now share.
Thank you, sir.
One second. Just a moment, Samir.
You could share it subsequently in the call if that's not available at hand. Don't want to keep others waiting.
It's there, actually. I will tell you. Milk procurement price an average actually 34 rupees 36 paise for the quarter, current quarter. 34 rupees 36 paise.
Thank you, sir. Yes. And liquid milk selling price, sir?
Selling price, milk selling price 46 rupees 85 paise.
Thank you, sir.
46.85. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anirudh Joshi from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, say in terms of this, we are still generating extraordinary profitability for not just us but the entire dairy sector. So, just on a sectoral thought process, till what time do you expect this supernormal profitability can continue? Now, I guess we are entering flush season, so December quarter again might be in a way good. But how do you see, can most other commodities in India, including agro commodities and other commodities also globally, if we see there is a massive inflation, right? There is an inflation which is not seen in past 10, 15 years or so. That kind of inflation we are seeing. Obviously, at some point of time, it may happen with milk, but just your expert opinion, when do you see that happening in the sector, or probably it will take a whole lot of time for milk prices to come up? That is one question. And two, was there any increase in milk selling prices? Most cooperatives have raised the selling prices, but private dairies have not yet raised selling prices. So any particular reason for this? And also, do you see price hikes happening for the sector as well as Heritage in current quarter? Yeah, thanks.
What is the last point, Anirudh? I couldn't catch you.
So, there price hikes are happening in the sector. Most cooperatives have raised selling prices,
yeah,
like Amul. But private dairies have not yet raised.
Yeah, after that, you said something.
Yeah, so when do you see the price hikes happening in the sector as well as for Heritage?
Okay. Yeah, coming to the first point, yes, the changes are slowly happening compared to last year's wave one, COVID. We went through wave two. Now things are looking much safer in terms of COVID. The occurrence is less in the country. Impact of COVID is also very minimal on the affected persons. Vaccination has crossed significant number of population, close to 70%. So the safety levels have increased. Markets are open. The demand revived to a great extent. Still the growth is coming. In view of this, the situation may remain same for some more time. Particularly, we are passing through the flush season now. But as you know, during this quarter, sale of value-added products would be a bit lower compared to other quarters due to the winter weather and rains, etc. So it might impact the margins a bit. To that extent, procurement prices will be stable or a bit down compared to the earlier quarter. So stability is visible as of now. We don't see much changes happening on any side of the prices, farm side or sales side prices, at least for this quarter. In the fourth quarter, we have to see how things pan out depending on the global milk availability, national milk availability, etc. So stability is what we are seeing now. And coming to sale prices hike, there won't be any sale prices increase during the current year, current financial year. If at all, it will be during the end of the year, towards the month of March or so. But I don't see any reason to increase sale prices now.
Okay. Okay. That's helpful, sir. And last question. Now schools are starting again, and even offices, many offices are starting now. So do you see the reverse migration happening in our key cities in South India? And also, do you see that can drive as a demand driver for milk in next 2-3 quarters?
Yes, definitely. Normalcy is coming back. Some of the schools are already open for a higher classes. Some of them are doing hybrid sessions, both online, offline. Post Diwali, maybe some more openings will be there. But definitely by January, most of the institutions should be open for students. With the children vaccine also in sight. So the next quarter should be much better in terms of demand.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir. This is very helpful.
Thank you, Anil.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Gokul Maheshwari from Auriga Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Could you comment on the Horeca channel, how you're seeing the demand trends over there in terms of revival, and compare it also with pre-COVID, how things over there?
Sure. Horeca is almost open. I mean, there is no place where it is closed now. All institutions, all hotels, restaurants, caterers, everybody is open, except the size of gatherings has come down for caterers. The earlier weddings, get-togethers, parties, that kind of josh is not still there. The crowding is not there. The numbers are limited. Maybe I could have seen a 500-member wedding is today managed with 150, 200. So that is coming back in a slow fashion. Similarly, hotels, restaurant also same issue. You don't see overcrowded places, food joints now, but it is visible. So with the precaution, with the higher immunity, with vaccination, I see the quarter four should be a normal demand for Horeca. Now it is growing. It's growing from lower levels. Month on month, we are seeing the demand increasing. For them also, footfalls increasing, revenue increasing. So it's a process driven, maybe a few months down the line. Post January, things should be very, very normal. Yes. Assuming wave 3 is not coming to India.
Right. And just two more questions. Could you just comment on the animal feed business, which is particularly slightly weak in this quarter, and the outlook for the rest of the year? And secondly, is your own expansion strategy in terms of deepening your presence in rural or even regional expansions, if you could comment on those reasons. Thank you.
You asked, the second question is related to milk dairy, right?
Yes, that's right.
Expansion is related to dairy. First question is on animal feed.
Right.
Okay, I request Mr. Vinay, CEO of NutriVet, to deal with the first question.
Good evening. This quarter two has been muted for the feed business. Typically, we have seen a lot of inflationary pressure on the raw materials. And with abundant rains, there has been a lot of green fodder available for the farmers. So typically, start of Diwali is the time when the raw material starts, the prices start reducing, and that is the time when we expect the margins to get better. This year there has been a slight problem with the monsoon that it doesn't seem to end. So crops which were supposed to start coming into the market now have still not started, and there is excess moisture in the crops. So we expect that probably fresh arrivals will start sometime towards end of November, and that is when we will see improvement in the animal feed business. Okay. I'll hand it back to President sir for the second part of the question.
Yeah, coming to the expansions, we are currently operating in all the markets where we are present. We are not going to enter new markets in any way, except deepening into tier 2, tier 3 in the same markets, same states.
Okay, but there was a plan to set up a curd manufacturing facility on the Bombay Sewers Road, and that was entering the is that operational, or have you been able to commercialize that?
Yes, yes, it was done a few months back, the new plant near Mumbai. That's why I said we are in the same markets, not new markets. Our plant is in Maharashtra. We were already there in Maharashtra. That plant has been commissioned and sales are happening now in Maharashtra.
Great, sir. What was the value of the sales of corn in the quarter? Value sales?
Can you repeat? Value of?
The dahi sales, the curd sales.
Curd sale in the quarter?
Yeah.
169 crores.
Yeah. Only total
The only curd
is 134 crores.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. I have three questions. The first question is that if you could help us to have the update on the Vandi business. I think I could see that you have also launched Paneer Tikka in the ready-to-eat segment. So is that the core strategy that we are also going to get into? Aggressive and ready-to-eat food strategy. Maybe some color if you can see that, how the expansion and how the whole business is shaping up.
Yeah, this is Gamini here. I will take the question on Novandi. We're seeing good response since we launched our product end of the last financial year, beginning of this year. We are present currently in states, in Maharashtra, in Mumbai, Pune, and Nasik markets, in Gujarat, in Surat, Vadodara, and Ahmedabad, and in Telangana, in the Hyderabad market. This month itself, I'm happy to share with you that we've also launched in the Karnataka market, in Bangalore city. Given the very positive response from the consumers, we are looking forward to launching these products in other markets, such as Goa, and the markets with the existing states and routes such as Kolhapur, Mysore, Mangalore. And we're also looking forward to launching newer flavors within our stirred as well as set drinkable yogurts categories. Also we're looking at certain mainstream plain yogurts sort of products also being launched very soon in these states itself.
Yeah, just one follow-up here. I think now we have spent almost good time to learn and shape up the business. If you could give us some understanding on financial metrics for this business over next medium to long term.
Sure. This is a very new business. As you know, we have launched products during the second wave. So we are taking some time to stabilize when it comes to margin performance. We will get back to you with the better numbers going forward. There are numbers. We also have a JV partner, which is an unlisted company, so we are obligated that we don't share too much information either. We will get back to you at the earliest possible, perhaps by the end of the financial year with the other numbers.
Sure, Brahmin. My last question is on the entry. I mean, we have a significant investment in terms of plant. So if you can just help me to understand what is the per day run rate, what is the sales we have done, and what is the plan in the maybe next 2 to 3 quarters we can expect from this entry into the market? Any specific learning which you are satisfied, or if you want to point out that it is not up to the expectation?
This is with regards to ready to eat.
No. I'm saying we have put up a plant in Paris there.
This is with regards to JV, is that right?
Not JV. I mean, our own distribution and liquid milk.
in the Maharashtra
you are
market?
Talking about is a bit overlapping questions. You are talking about Novandi business or heritage business?
I am now talking about heritage business.
Okay. What is the question on heritage?
We have put up a plant in outskirts of Maharashtra and we last time said that we are trying to look at this market. So our aspiration is that we were planning to get to 1 lakh liter. So if you can give me some metrics where we have reached and what we are doing and maybe on the front end, what are the sales numbers?
Yeah, we would perhaps hold it for the time being because it just started a few months back and started during the wave 2. A lot of difficulties were there in approaching the market in wave 2. Post wave 2, July, August, September only we have done some numbers. Still evolving the business in that area. Next quarter we'll definitely present those details for that plant specific.
Okay, Mr. Ram. Thank you.
On the tikka paneer, I request Mr. Sridip to respond to you.
Yep. Thanks. Thanks for that question on tikka paneer. Actually, my response to that is in continuation of what I said initially. Value-added products for us, we are focused on four advantaged categories that we want to invest in. Commit ourselves to. First is curd, which happens to be the biggest contributor for our value-added products. The second one in which we are deeply committed is the paneer category. And the third is drinkables, which includes flavored milk, and the fourth being desserts in which we have investments in ice creams. So of the in the second category of paneer is where we are trying to build national leadership, and hence you will continue to see a lot of innovation happening in this. Tikka paneer happens to be a good innovation that's going well for us, but still it is very early stages for us to comment on. It's been just one quarter and we are getting great response from our consumers, and because we are directly connected with them through our D2C as well as e-commerce, we are constantly taking feedback on the product and iterating as well to get the taste closer to consumer expectation. And in the same line is where we have very recently launched a Malai Paneer Fresh as well. So you will see a lot of innovations in paneer going forward from us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. My question was relating to the cash which is being accumulated by the company, which is going at a good run rate, and we are already sitting on a good amount of cash. Just wanted to understand how and when does the company plan to deploy this cash?
Sure. This is Ramani here.
Could not hear you at the end.
Yes, sir. So I would just like to know how are we going to deploy this money? In which business segments are we looking at to deploy this money, and then by when? Because we're going to be doing a good amount of cash flow even going forward if things remain, like you said, the third wave doesn't hit us. Then again, the good cash flows are going to continue and we're already sitting on a good amount of cash.
This is Jamini here. Thank you for the question. Of course, the company is going through a very high growth orientation and path right now. So that will require some investments, both in OPEX as well as CAPEX, and people as well going forward, people and teams. So we will have to invest into our backend as we improve and strengthen our procurement network, our processing network, especially when it comes to value-added dairy products, especially given the fact that we have a very unique go-to-market wherein we believe in having full control over quality in our products and services. And of course, going forward, as mentioned, this is the time of the year that we will also be looking at skim milk powder and commodity purchases for the next season, especially the summer season to come. So some cash will be deployed in growth itself, going forward, to be able to reach the 6,000 crore mark at the earliest possible and to be able to grow over 20% year on year. As you're aware, the board has also approved an interim dividend very recently to shareholders, and of course to reward the shareholders for their constant support, and we will always strive to maximize shareholder value. Aside from that, I think any decisions that need to be taken will have to take growth and the needs for growth into consideration and balance these different requirements as well as shareholders' requirements. And the board will have to take dynamically, have to take decisions based on the same, also based on several external factors that the business could be affected by.
Okay. Understood. Just one more follow-up question to this. You're seeing lines getting blurred in the dairy business and the feed business and the whole agro business to some extent, not to some extent, to a very great extent. And how are you seeing the evolution of this company going forward? So from a dairy company, you start doing feed, and now feed companies are starting to do dairy and, you know, having their own retail chains and having their own retail outlets. So basically, how is you seeing the sector and the company evolve and into what?
You're very right. I think there's a lot of synergies between the feed business and the dairy business that we have today, primarily because we as a company are directly connected with the farmers, and we don't really go through third-party aggregators in terms of our procurement model. And that's where we are able to offer subsidized cattle feed that's high in quality and that's you know, processed as well as manufactured by the company itself. There are several synergies. For instance, we're able to use the same procurement, milk procurement vehicles that go empty one way to be able to deliver feed to our farmers and their doorstep. We're able to make feed available in smaller quantities versus them being obligated to be purchasing larger quantities of feed multiple times in a month. So there are several opportunities for that. And most importantly, we're also seeing that through our services that we are providing through both our NutriVet business or our feed business as well as our procurement network, farmers are also seeing a benefit of using high quality feed for their animals, which generally is not a habit in all parts of the country. So we're also getting them used to better nutrition for their animals, better well-being for their animals, etc. So the company is also benefited in terms of better quality of milk that is helping in terms of margins and would be able to benefit from this particular value that we are adding to the farmer. So certainly the feed business outlook is very positive for us. We are looking at growing this business into 400 to 500 crore business with a stable margin of about 3.5 to 4% in the next 5 to 6 years.
Okay, noted. Thank you for answering all the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shraddha Sheth from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. A very good set of numbers. Just follow up on the previous question.
Your voice is breaking, Shraddha. Your voice is not very clear.
Yeah. Now?
Try again, we'll see.
Yes, sir. Is it better now?
Yes, certainly.
Yes, yeah. So, sir, just a follow-up from the previous question. As we understand, you know, we are targeting a 20% sales growth and a 6,000 crore sales mark across the company and with the kind of cash flow generation. Just wanted to understand, do we have enough capacity to be able to cater to this growth? Because as we see, the overall procurement still stands at about 1.3 million on a capacity of 2.7 million. So is my understanding right that we have enough capacity to be able to cater to the growth and the incremental capex will be relatively lower?
Yeah, I think I have taken time last time to explain the capacities and the utilizations and growth. See, what we are talking of are three things. One, milk procurement capacities, that is talked as chilling capacity. Second is milk processing capacity, where milk is processed into various types of milk or products. And third is a packaging capacity. So different capacities are there in different markets and states. We are a decentralized company to ensure freshness of the milk to consumers. See, we have a 5 lakh liter capacity in one place and serving one market, it's easier to deal with the capacity demand fluctuations and capacity. But we are operating in 11 states. We have 18 processing plants. We have 187 chilling centers. So in certain areas, milk is higher, and availability is higher, certain areas is lower. It changes year on year. During the year also, summer time it goes down to half, winter time it doubles. So these are all the fluctuations we have to accommodate. When there is a surplus milk, we process in our powder plant. We have a 2 lakh liters per day milk capacity plant which can convert it into powder. So that cannot be utilized throughout the year. That will be used only during the surplus period. So milk chilling capacity we have 21 lakh liters. Milk processing 27 lakhs. Milk packing 17 lakhs. Other value added products, curd and other products is 7 lakhs. So is the different capacities are there, different growth requirements are there. So we need to continuously upgrade. These are all 30-year-old infrastructure. There is a replacement capex. There is a automation capex. There are a lot of new locations we have to create where milk is not available. I explained last time also, we have set up a 50,000 liter chilling capacity unit 25 years back. The milk chilling capacity is 50,000 liters. But in last 20 years, 10 other companies have come and set up the chilling units in the same area. The size of the milk shed is same. Number of players and installed capacity is greater than that. So we share that milk. So we have to go and create another infrastructure in a new milk shed for 25,000 liters. Though this capacity of 50 has come down to 25, I still have to create another 25,000 liter capacity elsewhere. So therefore the capacities increase and the volumes will not come there. So we don't downgrade that plant because it is same infrastructure. We reduce the utilization of compressors and IBTs for chilling, the refrigeration capacities, to reduce the operational costs, but capacity remains same. That is how we keep moving from one milk shed to other milk shed in the chase of milk. That's how the expansions happen. So it's a bit complex situation because of the dispersed nature of milk availability. The same milk is not available in one place to accumulate everything and then process and distribute. It's the nature of the business, nature of the sector.
Right, sir. What I was indicating is that on an overall basis, you know, we have done almost about 100 crore sort of annual capex in the last 3 years. So incrementally, what is the kind of run rate on the capex with the kind of growth that we are seeing, can we look at?
Yes, it will be a 90 crore, 100 crore capex per annum next 4 or 5 years to meet the growth aspirations of the business.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manoj Baheti from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I had just have a follow-up question to one of the participants. As you articulated your growth aspiration of taking the company to around 6,000 crores over next 4 or 5 years, if you can articulate little bit in detail the journey from now to 6,000 crores, will it be led by same categories or it will require significant category expansion? Secondly, what kind of, you just mentioned that it will be 90 to 100 crore kind of capex per annum. Will that be sufficient to capture this kind of growth opportunity? And lastly, whether you will be aggressively looking for inorganic opportunities also to reach to that ambition? Yeah,
the journey is essentially aimed at organic growth only, because we are not able to find appropriate targets for inorganic growth in terms of geographies, in terms of quality of the product, quality of the processes and people. So we have been looking at it from time to time, whatever is coming to us, but we haven't been able to shortlist any target now. So therefore, the going forward our journey should be through organic growth. Mm-hmm. And coming to the, doesn't mean we have closed our eyes on the inorganic opportunity. If something appropriate at right valuation, which fits into our culture, is available, we are open for that. Always we keep looking out for that. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, we look at organic only.
Okay.
Coming to the category expansion, as Sridhip earlier part of the call, he explained that we are creating exciting variants and products in the same category, dairy category at the moment. We are also looking at any adjacent white spaces, nutrition products which might be closer to the consumer's needs. Same consumer who comes for the dairy products also look for similar products at that time of purchase. We are trying to identify any additional products that can also be added to our dairy basket. And coming to the capex, we are confident this 100 crore capex should be enough to meet the growth requirements of the company in the next 5 years.
Yeah. Just a follow-up to this, like if I see your growth trajectory over the last 4 or 5 years, it is like kind of stagnant growth. So just wanted to understand, like, unless we have a different plan or different execution plan going forward, and considering this sector is also a cyclical sector, so just wanted to understand that what gives you a confidence of journey from now to 6,000 crore, a little bit more details on this will be helpful for us.
Please. Yeah. Sridhip will talk to you.
I'll just give a couple of pointers and then hand over to President to give you further guidance on that. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, one of the things that you hinted at is, will the shape of the business be same as now? I can confidently say no. Because today you must have seen that in this quarter we have increased the contribution from of value-added products from 21.7% to 25.7%.
Mm-hmm.
We are very confident about our internal plans, which show us that by the time we would have reached 6,000 crores, the contribution from the value-added products category should be close to about 40%.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at it, the CAGR that we are expecting from the value-added products would be significant.
Mm-hmm.
And the advantage that value-added products that we have is that it need not follow the same footprint as the fresh milk footprint. You could pretty much imagine,
mm-hmm.
which gives us the opportunity to grow that at a much rapid pace compared to fresh milk, number one. Number two, we have made, President hinted at all the investments we have made in the recent past in expanding geographies into markets such as Maharashtra in the north, etc., which are in very early stages. And we are very encouraged by the early results we have got, but still it is too early for us to comment because it's been only a couple of quarters. And for compared to a business which has been around for 30 years, you know that couple of quarters is a very short time for us to comment on, especially because milk is something which is very habitual for consumers. But we are very confident the early signs we are seeing from these geographies that they will add significant growth to us going forward. So the CAGR that we will see in these markets could be three-digit CAGRs, which will add up to strong double-digit CAGR for milk itself. So this I'm speaking about pure organic like-to-like categories and segments. So growth from value-added products at a very rapid pace. Secondly, growth from newer geographies at exponential rate will be significant contributor to that. Apart from entering attractive adjacencies that President spoke about, I hand over to President to add to this.
Will cheese
yeah, I think
be one
your,
of
your yes, please.
Will cheese be one of the category, because this is I think one of the largest category, but unfortunately it requires much higher working capital and low ROC business. Yeah.
Yeah, cheese we just started as a co-packing opportunity from one of the plants in Maharashtra. Our cheese business is not aimed at Horeca or QSR. We are looking at only consumer packs and consumer sales, so that the point of working capital is taken care. And we are also not investing in our capex at this stage. We are utilizing the available surplus capacity from one of the manufacturers in Maharashtra. So we just entered a few months back, 6 months back, into the market, just building the volumes and brand and distribution right now.
Sure. Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Aditya Kondawar from GSD Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I just got disconnected in between. I just wanted more flavor on the healthy value-added products that you have said that you're going to launch ahead. Any color on that will be helpful. Thank you.
You wanted to know value-added products?
Yeah, the healthy value-added products that you spoke about in the start. Yeah.
Yeah, so I can take the question. I think we're for clarify we are already able to say we are in the healthy phase, and in fact we're one of the first dairy companies to end to end fortify milk with vitamin A and D. Having said that, I think what Sir was or Sridhi was alluding to is the fact that we are open minded. We are in the process of exploring spaces where there can be interesting adjacencies with the dairy space in food itself, and that's something that's still a work in progress. It is sort of like a project that we're working on. As and when there are further updates or material updates, we will keep you posted.
Oh, okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Shivan Sarvaiya from GHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. The first one's on the Novandi JV. So are we looking at any adjacencies apart from yogurt in that JV?
So our current scope of JV, according to our agreements, etc., covers fruit and flavored yogurts. It also covers European desserts, and the company is already a market leader when it comes to that. And this also includes some drinkable yogurts. So there are products already in the pipeline to be launching into the market, perhaps after this financial year, because we first want to stabilize in the yogurt space. We're seeing really good traction in MRF and e-com channels, and the idea is to also expand our presence in the GT space within the markets that I mentioned earlier. So yes, there are other interesting products already covered in the scope of the JV that we are exploring and could be introduced in the next financial year.
Okay. And in terms of the distribution, where are we at that, ma'am, in terms of acquiring shelf space in the retail outlets, apart from the e-commerce?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, most of the sales today is coming from MRF stores, and the optic has been very interesting. In fact, in relatively newer markets of introduction, such as Hyderabad, in very limited stores, we've been very specific about where we wanted to launch the product. We wanted to go slow and steady. We've seen quite positive response, like I mentioned. We'll come back to you with more details, perhaps, like I said, the next time we meet. MRF and e-commerce is where we're selling more, and GT expansion as we go forward in the current quarter. Also need to keep in mind that the peak season, which is the summer season, which is 6 months away, is when we will see maximum peak sales. And that's when we can really assess or share the impact of the new products that we launched into the market in the last couple of months.
Sure. And ma'am, one question from a broad perspective, like when we look at the dairy industry in India, when the leader in India is a not-for-profit organization, when majority of our competition is cooperative based and not-for-profit, so how do we look at competing with such players and, you know, maintaining a healthy margin from a long-term perspective and from expanding our top line? So some idea on this some thoughts on this would be very helpful, because this industry is pretty much different from the others that we analysts or investors track. So your thoughts would be very helpful.
Please go ahead, sir.
In the year 92, when the government of India liberalized the dairy sector to private sector as part of economic reforms, 100% milk was in the hands of cooperatives. 92-93, close to 400 companies have come in India in response to the amendments to the milk and milk products regulatory order. So many private companies have entered. Since 93-92 now, almost 3 decades passed after government allowed private sector to participate in the dairy sector. In 3 decades, 40 to 50% of milk shifted to private companies. Right now the estimate is 49% of the milk in organized sector in India is handled by private companies and 51% by the cooperative sector. I am sure this conveys the answer to you.
Sure, sir. Thanks for your thoughts, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Siddharth Bhattacharya from Anvil Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. I believe distribution is a key pillar on which business like ours will see success. So I have seen that in some areas we have, so I believe distribution would be a key pillar on which, success companies like ours exist. So I've seen that we have done tie-ups with, Neomart in some geographies. So could you sort of help us understand that more in detail?
See, our success or growth is highly dependent on the product and service. So we have been taking stand since beginning. Ours is the fresh product and pure product. That's why we have set up 18 plants for a smaller volume of 1.5 million liters. Every market we have a processing plant. We procure milk directly from the farmers within 200 kilometers distance from that market. So today morning milk reaches the consumer tomorrow morning as short distance as possible. We don't shift milk from Pune to Delhi, Ahmedabad to Hyderabad, Tirupati to Delhi like that. So which is a long distance, it's a perishable product. So what I'm trying to say is the product quality, which is fresh and pure, adulteration free. We have zero tolerance for any chemical adulteration, preservatives, etc. in our milk. So the quality and the timely delivery, 80 to 90% of milk goes to home delivery in our model through our distribution system. So very small quantities are sold in the outlets. So the service in time, by 6:36, milk has to be home, it will be delivered. So the support of quality and service, we are growing and we continue to grow. The distribution certainly matters and it helps. We have now registered or tied up with all the e-commerce channels in our market. There is no e-commerce channel which doesn't sell our milk or milk products. There is no modern retail store which doesn't sell our products. All the hyper stores, supermarkets, e-commerce channels are offering our products. So distribution is a strength, and product quality and service is our fundamental success point.
Sure, I understand that.
Including JioMart, then Udaan, etc.
Sure. I wanted to understand this aspect more from a value-added products perspective, since with value-added product, you know, you're increasing the shelf life. So effectively, reach would be a key thing to look at. So I wanted to understand distribution from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, there is no problem in that. In every market, we have a plant and we deliver overnight to the warehouses of all these channels, and they redistribute with their hyper-locals or their own distribution channels. And we have our own distribution to our heritage exclusive parlors. We have close to 860 exclusive heritage parlors operated by franchises. We keep our product available in our own outlets, and we have close to 130,000 retail outlets where our product is made available through our distributors and agents, apart from all the modern retail format stores and all the e-commerce channels. And our delivery system is robust in terms of overnight deliveries. Even the product like paneer, which has 21-day shelf life, we deliver every day because consumer wants yesterday packed products. Product is available 15-day shelf life also, they don't prefer. They want fresh. So we are able to deliver because of our decentralized manufacturing and factory locations.
Okay. So effectively, we don't see any returns on our value-added products ever.
Return zero. We have no return policy. We just, it's a carry delivery policy.
Okay. And on the same lines, could you help us understand that we want to be at 40% value-added products in the next three, four years? Where do you see that number trending next year, if you could help us with that?
Yeah, we are able to add 3 to 4% incremental increase year on year. Certain years like COVID year, we had a setback because there was no out-of-home consumption. Minus that aberration, our increase year on year is 3 to 4% within the value-added products contribution.
Sure, got that. Thank you so much, sir, for answering my questions.
Thank you. I now hand the conference over to Dr. M. Sambasiva Rao for closing comments.
I request Brahmani to give the closing comments.
Thank you so much to all our valued shareholders and investors for your feedback and all of your questions. I'm happy to say that despite really tough external conditions, aside from COVID, we had a really heavy monsoon. We've seen some positive growth, double-digit growth in the second quarter of the current financial year. And this came, more importantly, primarily from volume growth as well as direct to B2C sales, consumer sales, which is what the company has been focused on significantly. Given the fact that external factors are looking quite positive now, COVID cases are under control. We've all seen that the billion doses of vaccines number or milestone has been reached in the country. As one of our investors mentioned, schools are back to normal, workplaces are more or less back to normal as of now. We definitely see demand coming back, and we foresee that this will help us in the rest of the quarter, especially on the back of the festive season of Dashera, Diwali, etc. And we are hopeful that this demand will also continue into the summer of next year. Internally also, we've geared up as a team with the right people, resources, and focus, especially to grow in value-added dairy products. In terms of procurement, we are entering the flush season, so we should be able to stabilize in terms of margins and continue our positive performance when it comes to bottom line as well. So thank you once again for joining us, and hope all of you stay safe and wishing you a happy Diwali in advance. Thank you once again.
Thank you. I would now request Mr. Hiral Kenia from Dickinson World to give his closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today for this call. In case of any further questions, clarification, suggestions or feedback, you can connect with Mr. Umakant Barik, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, Heritage Foods, or us, Dickinson World. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Heritage Foods Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.